Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
I don't know about you, but I'm doing good. Kirk Franklin with 1-2-3 victory. Takes us to 18 minutes after 12 o'clock. Very good afternoon to you if you have just joined in. And trust me, you haven't missed out a lot. We're just getting into it. And so welcome in. And Pastor Moyo is joining me in studio. Good afternoon, Fundisi.
Good afternoon, Sis Luke. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm blessed.
I'm good.
No,
there's something Pastor Moyo does every Wednesday morning. Today he didn't do it. So I'm like, and, I just thought I'm like,
greetings to our listeners at home too. Wow. In the mighty name of Jesus.
The smile on your face. Welcome, Fundisi. Thank you so much. So what do you have for us this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
Well, Sis Luko, we are here to encourage somebody at home. You realize that every time when I share from the scriptures, it's mostly the words of encouragement and uplifting people and imparting people with the right necessary knowledge, equipping of the saints, because of the seasons that change constantly. So, you see, so that when there is a change of a season, one has to know what to do. Like the sons of Issachar, the Bible says, They were able to redeem the times and the seasons, and they knew what to do in those seasons. Yeah. So seasons are not the same.
Yep.
Seasons, there are seasons to celebrate, where you feel like God is really holding you by His marvelous hand. You sound like you are bragging when you are telling people about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
Yet to some, it's a different season. There's nothing to testify about.
There's nothing to write home
There's
about.
Nothing to, you understand? It's like the Hannah situation and the Penina situation. Penina every year after year, she has something to go to Shiloh and thank God for. You know, and she's looking forward to go to Shiloh.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's somebody who is going there not to thank God, there's nothing to show that God is with them as well, you know. So I'm talking to somebody listening at home who has a similar situation, going through a tough season, you know. As we speak right now, you will find that there's somebody who just received good news that they've been appointed, you know, or they got a new offer, new job. They received, or they got a contract, a huge contract, business contract. There are some who are celebrating today because they've been told by their partners that, you know what, I've made up my decision. Come month end, I'm sending my family to your family.
Yeah.
You understand? Those are good news. You understand? Yeah. There's somebody who was called today in the morning and was told, come pick up your car. We've approved your application. You see, there's somebody who has been told that house has been approved. It's 100% bond. Come and fetch the keys. You understand?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good news happening during the day. But on the same token, there's also bad news. There are other people who are just shifting into a season that is not favorable to them. Some like now, some just got phone calls that so-and-so just passed on.
You
understand?
True.
To some, they were just called to a 12 o'clock meeting. That is a deciding meeting. And they were told, you are retrenched.
Yeah.
Or you are dismissed. And to some, they've been told, your contract with immediate effect is ending. We don't care whether the job is still there or the work is still there, but we don't want to see your company on site. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
There are some who...
Someone going through the
you
most
understand.
Right
there
now.
Are some who received good news that there is a new life that has come to the family. A child has been born, but there is somebody already now who just received bad news that there is miscarriage.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when I stand in this platform, I take into consideration that we've got two kinds of people within one day.
Mm. And within same platform.
Same platform.
Yeah.
You understand? They have today, in as much as it's a day, but it's a season.
Mm, for someone else.
You understand?
True.
To some, it's a jubilee season. They are celebrating something. But to some, it's a difficult time.
Mm.
It was just a mark of a difficult season, going through a tough situation.
Yep.
So, but now, today, I want us to look into the book of Psalms 37, verse 25. Psalms 37, verse 25.
And the King James Version says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread.
Mm.
Amen.
Can you read it again?
I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is King David. He's concluding his matter at a stage in his life where he has seen it all. And he's qualified to talk about the life, the entirety of life.
Yep.
To say, I can start from where I began with life
and
to where I am right now. In other words, I can conclude that I can advise the whole nation and the people in the whole world.
On various matters.
On various matters concerning God.
Mm.
He says, I've been young. I've seen it all. And I went through the stages of becoming a youth. And I became an adult. But now I am old. In other words, I'm no longer energetic as I was.
Yep.
And it might be that even my eyesight right now is not as good as I was when I was still young. But there's something that I've seen about this God. The righteousness of God. The righteous of God. You know, he says, I have never seen them forsaken.
Yeah.
He's assuring the children of God that no matter what, God will never leave you. No matter what, God will never leave you.
Yeah.
He will always be there by your side. Now, we are the righteousness of God, not because of performance or behavior. Our righteousness comes from Christ.
Amen.
We received Jesus, and by receiving him, we received the life of righteousness.
Amen.
You see, it's like when you drink. Let me use an example that everyone might know, even though some might have never tasted alcohol. Are you aware that when you drink alcohol, the more you drink or the excess of alcohol, what you put inside of you influences you outside?
Of course.
So whether you like it or not, you become what you have drank.
Mm-hmm.
You become what you have
taken in.
Mm. If you take in medication, there are some medications that have got alcohol content. All of a sudden, you feel drowsy. You can't even help it. You have to sleep.
Yeah. And you can't really fight it off.
You can't fight it off. You have taken it in, and that's how it's going to be. You understand?
The ripple effect is uzofunulala. That's it.
Uzofunulala. Yeah. You understand? And you can't undo it. It has to take its course.
For as
and
long
it
as has it's to in your system.
I like it that way. If it's in your system, then it will have to control you.
Yeah, sure.
So our righteousness is in taking in Jesus. Then when he's in
our system,
our system, then he begins to control us.
Amen.
As many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Amen.
You understand? So when you take him in, automatically he controls you. Your thinking, your perception, your talking, how you see, you view things, how you respond to challenges, he's the one who has taken over your life.
It's shaped by what's on the inside of you.
What is on the inside of you.
Amen.
Because now I want to, the reason why I'm explaining the righteousness part is because somebody might say, hey, but the life that I'm living is not pleasing to God. And I doubt if God loves me. I'm sure he has forsaken me because of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or because of the things that I've done in the past. Or could it be that God can really forgive me? After those things that I did when I was 13, when I was 15, when I was 19, when I was 26, when I was 25, when I was 32, when I was 45, when I was 52. So somebody else might be caught up in that dilemma where there is a fight in his thinking or in their thinking. That could it be that God can really stand by me? I'm sure the reason why this is not happening and that is not happening to my life is because God has forsaken me.
Yeah.
But today I'm here to assure you that God never forsake you.
Amen.
You are the righteousness of God. Not because you have behaved differently or you perform somehow to God. The salvation is not by behavior nor performance. Salvation is by reception.
Amen.
We receive Jesus in our hearts and we believe that he is the Son of God. And that on its own, when we receive, we are received a new life.
Amen.
And that new life shapes even who we are, what we do, and how we speak and how we walk.
Amen.
So David concludes here. He says, I've been young. In other words, I've done it all. In my early stages of life, I was naughty at some point. And we are looking at David. David's life is not... You understand? If David was a pastor of this generation, probably no one would have listened to David.
Would have been cancelled a long time ago.
You understand?
Cancel culture would have dealt with him.
I'm telling you, this generation is... It only allows grace when it's applicable to them. You understand?
True.
But the same grace when it has to be applied to their leader... They feel like, no, we can't stand to be led by somebody who is immoral like this, somebody who speaks like this, somebody. They expect perfection, too much perfection from their leaders.
Yeah.
You understand? So now I'm talking to somebody out there that grace is applicable to everyone.
It's for all.
Grace is for all. Grace is for the bishops, also the apostles, also the evangelists, also the pastors. And everyone, including the church, grace is equally so to everyone.
Yeah.
So when we preach the message of grace, the church claps hands. They feel it. They believe it. No, Pastor, you are talking to me. Indeed, God is faithful. God has forgiven me. Thank you, Pastor, for that message. I've struggled for too long. But now when that message, when the church has to reciprocate to the pastor or the man of God or the leader, it becomes, no. You can't tell us about grace. You know, you don't qualify. All of a sudden, the qualification starts to be enacted.
Is it not because people generally think to whom much is given, much is expected?
Well, but to a certain proportion.
Because that person is still in a human, sinful nature.
Paul says, there's something that, I love Paul. Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't do. But the things that I don't do,
I find myself
doing them. The ones that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. You understand?
It's the human nature.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
To an extent, he says at some point, says, I cried several times. I had a weakness. He says, I wanted God to remove this thorn in my flesh. But purposely so, God says, I will not remove it. Because in your weakness, my strength is perfected. You understand?
Amen.
That's why Paul preached so much about grace and love in the church.
Yep.
Because he understood that you need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. It doesn't matter who. Everyone needs the grace of Jesus.
Yeah.
We are saved by grace. Amen. So we are talking about David here, who talks about righteousness. Because I know somebody might be jumping at my throat and say, but which David are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, he had many weaknesses, it's true. But God chose him.
Mm.
There were many who were upright by performance and behavior.
Yep.
But still God passed them. He chose this one.
David.
This very one. This one. He says, no, I want David.
To the brutal one who had Uriah murdered.
You understand?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to picture out. Sometimes when I read the scriptures, and you know, you have these personal conversations with the Holy Spirit where you laugh and you have a conversation,
yeah.
You know, he says, if it was this church, David was going to be in trouble.
Of course.
If it was this church.
Of course.
And remember, this is the very same David whom, when he was hungry, he went straight into the priest where they store the sacrament. You see those the bread.
Yes.
And it was unlawful for anyone.
David
was circumstantial. Let me put it that way. He was hungry on the day. Coming back from a war. He went straight into a holy sanctuary, holy of holies. You went there.
You couldn't care.
You understand? You couldn't care. You understand?
Mm.
And there was a priest at that time who should have administered that bread to them if he wanted. But he jumped the protocol. David went straight. He took the bread, shared with the soldiers, says, hey, my tot, snare si fe pelugula ukonal. Sister Luko, she's laughing.
David
was a character.
Oh, too much.
But yet David loved God.
In fact, scripture refers to him as a man after God's own heart, actually.
And look at
that
everyone.
Type of man.
Let me tell you something about David. Are you aware that Elijah, he lived very well until he was taken by the whirlwind up to heavens? He did not die.
Mm.
That's why when he comes back, he comes as John.
Okay.
The spirit, if you read the book of Luke, you see Elijah coming back as John. You see. So, but that's another revelation for another day. Lest I confuse people more.
Uh-huh.
But it requires you we sit down, we delve into the scriptures. Then you see that, the spirit of Elijah is in this young man, you know. So, but now, I'm trying to sensitize somebody, Sis Luko, about David. When he talks about being young, we mustn't quickly jump that stage to say, but, now he says he's old. But let's go back in his early stages of his life. How many mistakes he made. You see, David, God loved David, and David loved God. And he had a repentant heart.
Yep.
In his songs, nothing else. You sing and nothing. And the only thing that he sang about, it was God.
Yeah.
David loved God. And God loved David.
Even in his fallibility, he still had so much love for God.
For God.
Mm.
You see. So we are talking about a man here who has actually had a hindsight of his life. He sits down and he concludes. He says, I've never seen the righteous
forsaken.
And he counts himself there that I'm the righteous. It doesn't matter how you look at me or what you know about my past. But the fact that I am a child of God, I'm the righteousness of God. God. You see?
Sure.
So you understand this, look.
I do, and I think you're now bringing back the ubuntu bomuntu.
Yes.
To say, you know what, I might have done it all, but I'm the righteousness of God.
I'm the righteous. That's what it stands. I'm sticking on this word here, the righteousness forsaken. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Amen.
Who are the righteous? Are the children of God.
Amen.
You are listening to me right now at home. You are the righteous of God.
And it doesn't eliminate anything because of your shortfall. You are a person, but what matters is a repentant heart.
We are the righteous of God. That's what settles everything.
Yeah.
Our qualification in becoming the righteous of God, the Bible says, we have been made right with Christ receiving Him.
Come on.
So when you receive God, you are right with God. You might be wrong with men. You might be wrong with men. Men might look at you and have a lot of things to count and tick and say, but when, but this, but that. But God, when God looks at you, He says, this one, I can't forsake him. I can't forsake her. She is mine. Yeah. He is mine. Now He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Yeah.
So now, let's look at the term forsaken. It simply means unkulunkulu ngeke akushiye.
Yeah.
It simply means God will never leave you.
Yeah.
It simply means God will never put you to shame. God will never make you a laughing stock. It simply means God will be your helper.
Amen.
He is your present help.
In times of need.
In times of need, He will never forsake you and say, yo, now you are in need. No. Let me go look
for
other friends.
I'm still busy with the other ones.
You understand?
Yeah.
Which is human nature.
Yeah.
Human nature, people want you when you are not needy.
Mm.
The moment you are needy,
you become too much for them.
Yo, you become a pattern. I was laughing. I was talking to another man of God. You know, sometimes we strengthen each other. He's a father figure to me. He says, Moyo, do you know that in life, there is no one who works so hard like a man who doesn't like begging or asking people for help.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but when you reach that level, it is because you have seen it all.
You've tried everything.
Not really tried everything. Yes, I see that. But in terms of seeing it all, he says, you even to the ones that you trusted, you become a burden to them. When they look at you, when you open your mouth, they're like, he's going to ask this one. We know the conversation won't end. She's going to ask for something. So they start avoiding you. They start running away from you. They start giving you your space. Even if you didn't want space. Even if you understand.
Also, thing is space.
They give you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a time where people say, I want my own space.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's a time where people give you space even if you want them close to you. You see, they give you that space.
Yeah.
You understand? Because you are a burden to them.
Mm.
But David says, God, you will never be a burden to you,
Amen.
To him.
Mm.
In fact, Jesus says, cast all your burdens unto me. Cast all your burdens unto me. Don't worry. Me, I can carry them for you. Don't worry. It doesn't matter whatever luggage it is. Bring it here. Bring it here. It is up to me who I will command, like I did to Elijah. The widow, whether she liked it or not, when she was commanded by God to help Elijah. So when God commands somebody to help you, Sis Luko, whether they like it or not, they will. They might dilly-dally and delay and try to have excuses, but that voice will still come and say to them, please, I told you, help this man or help this woman. And they will do it willingly or unwillingly.
Yeah.
When God commands,
they will
align themselves to the voice of God.
Amen.
You see, so just seek the face of God. Destiny helpers will find you in the journey of faith. When they are commanded, they will collide with you.
Sure.
It doesn't matter where, they will collide with you.
Yeah.
They will meet you somewhere or somehow. They will come where you are.
Don't try to crack your head waiting and looking for them.
Don't try. When I just focus on God, who is the one, who is the author and the finisher of your faith? Whoever is supposed to come to your life, divinely so, they will come. You get what I'm saying?
Clearly.
If it's a job, clearly. Divinely so, that job will come to you.
Amen.
When you apply, some of or even that appointment, Sis Luko, will come even in an area where, or in an environment where you did not even anticipate. You receive a phone call, they say, no, but your CV here, it was last updated in 2021, and you're like, but I never applied. They say, don't worry, it's fine. We like what we see so far. Can we see you in person?
Amen.
You understand? Can we see you in person? When you get there, the favor of God flourishes and it overwhelms the whole room. Everyone else says, this is the one. Immediately you get a job.
Amen.
You see, so all I'm trying to say is affirming David's words. He says, God will never forsake you. He will never leave you.
Amen.
He will stand by you. And he is faithful. When he promises, his promises are yes and are amen.
Amen.
It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes we put ourselves under pressure unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Sometimes we put ourselves under pressure unnecessarily so. Whereas God is already involved.
We try to do God's work.
Exactly. In fact, Naomi says to Ruth, he says, now that you are coming from Boaz, sit here. Don't move. He will come. He won't rest until your matter is resolved. You see, he says, sit here. In other words, laukona, shalalap, wherever you are, sit there. You are at the right place. You are not late.
Yeah.
You are not late. God is always on time. Sit there. He will never forsake you. He will always come through. Even in a way where you did not think God is going to, he will surprise you. That's why he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The miracles that were happening in the Bible, he is still capable unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly,
and above
what we ask or imagine or think, according to the power that is at work in us. You understand?
Amen.
So God will do it. He will never forsake you. Yes, it might be difficult. That's part and parcel of life.
But he's still there.
He's still with you. Amen. He will never leave you. I know that sickness, many people, and you even know that this sickness, this disease, I know how dangerous it is. You are counting years, you are counting months. You are scared that anything, or you even numbered your days. But today I'm here to tell you, fear not. The Lord is with you.
Amen.
And he will never forsake you.
Yeah, you're actually reminding me, Mfundisi, as you're speaking. I don't know why I'm getting this picture in my head. 2021, beginning of the year, my parents both had COVID. My dad, it was a bit more terrible with him. And he had kidney issues as a result of that. He started dialysis that year. For months to come, he was on dialysis. And I remember them explaining to me, I was this side, and a story came up that my dad was shot a couple of years ago. I was still much younger. Four shots in his tummy. Same with my brother. They thought it was my dad. And apparently back then, the doctors had already advised, because some toxins went into his kidneys and. And they'd already advised that he undergoes dialysis, even back then, which his current doctor back then refused. And he never underwent dialysis. Now COVID happens and all of a sudden he has to undergo dialysis. For months to come, he was in dialysis, to a point where at some point he was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I'd much rather die. I'm okay. Long story short, it was now determined he was to undergo dialysis endlessly. We didn't know. But 2022, around about July or so, his doctor said, look, everything's looking good now. And he was, and I remember he had a catheter in. So they said, no, keep it, you know, in case you need to come back for dialysis soon. And he said, no, this thing is too painful when it's cold. They took it off. And till today, it's now 2025, from 2022 mid-year, he still is not on dialysis. His health is looking good.
Amen. He will never leave you.
And meanwhile, they were saying, no, you won't get off it because you went in too late. It was supposed to have started years ago. But in a year or so, he was off dialysis.
Let me tell you something. I was talking to my brother He is in South Arabia. He works there. He's an engineer. I was talking to him during the week, sometime last week. He says, he calls me Mabongs. You know, it's a nickname for Bongani, my name. You know, your family will always see you
of
as
course.
Who you are.
They're not going to be like Mfundisi.
Mfundisi, yeah. Understand. So he says, Mabongs, look, whatever happens to us in life, it is because God allowed it.
Exactly.
There is nothing, especially if you are the righteousness of God, you are in Christ, you are praying, you are giving, you can even tick the boxes that I do everything right. You understand? Even my walk with God is not questionable. Then he says you must know then that the devil has no way that he can come into your life. It's just you are within that process.
Yeah.
If God allows it, he knows that you are going to conquer it.
Exactly.
That's why the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Through who? Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So when he says he will never forsake you, in other words, David now is taking us to the conversation between Mary and the angel. He says, this boy, this child shall be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He will never leave you. Nor forsake you. So which means he will always be with you.
Amen.
God is always with us. God is always with
us. So like what he says, nothing. If he allows it, yes. He knows how he'll take it.
You understand? And he will take care of it. Chances are, then it takes us to what Paul says. He says, no. If God allows it, which means he has put it on a scale.
Yeah.
And he knows what he has deposited in you.
Yep.
Sometimes us being too comfortable, God needs that situation. He allows it so that you can grow to your full potential.
Yep.
Otherwise, if everything it comes so smoothly and you are too comfortable where you are, you will never reach greater heights. You will never know your full potential until you are cornered.
Yeah. But in a tea bag, it doesn't know its strength until it lands in hot water.
I like that one. Can I copy that statement for
ahead,
Sunday?
Go ahead.
I'll preach about that on Sunday.
A tea bag does not know. It's just something
powerful,
sitting there.
Powerful.
But you put it in a hot
in
water.
In a hot water, in boiling
you
water.
See the
not just any water. Yeah. Because if it's cold water, yes.
Yeah.
But not its full potential.
Yeah. Put it in
but
hot water.
Put it in hot water. Then you'll see.
It's strength. Yep.
Wow, that's powerful. Yep. You understand?
Yeah.
So sometimes these situations, God allows them. He says because he wants to unlock certain things that only pressure of life can unlock it.
Amen. Sure.
Only the pressure of life can unlock it. There are certain things in life that only requires pressure.
Well, it's totally pressure.
You understand?
Orange. Once we push, you get the water
you understand?
Out of
yes.
My tail, it's if as good it, as useless.
Useless, you understand?
Sure.
Even olive oil. For it to become olive oil, it must be suppressed and squeezed.
Sure.
And to date now, we are happy to buy it. No, it's fish oil. It's all, you understand?
Yeah.
But you don't know if you ask that oil where it's coming from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's manufactured, you will see that no, it's not an easy.
The
process is not a nice process.
Mm.
So what you are going through is not the absence of God in your life.
Sure.
You don't need to change even your church. You don't even need to change your marriage. You don't even need to desert your children. You want your space now. You are running away. Everyone else is boring you. No, you are under that season of being suppressed. God is squeezing out something that will benefit others tomorrow.
Sure.
All precious stones, they come from under pressure.
Amen.
You look at coal. Coal is dug from underground. And coal is used for many other things. Some maybe they don't know. The fuel that we buy is manufactured from the coal.
Yeah.
You see?
Sure.
But if we didn't have coal, if we were too sympathetic to say, no, but coal can't go underground.
Yeah.
No. We love coal so much. Please, God, this tree, it mustn't go underground to become coal. Then we wouldn't have fuel today.
Yeah.
So there are certain things that we only have them today because we went through something.
Mm. Amen. What we go through is not the absence of God.
No, it's not the absence of God. No, it's not the absence of God. What it's not a measure that God is not in this place of fellowship or God is not with your pastor or God is not with you. No, you are going through. It's a normal process.
Mm.
For anything precious, it has to come under pressure.
Amen.
From anything precious, anything that is precious, it has to go through pressure.
Amen. Sure.
You understand? So clearly, David says, he will never forsake you. Just stay in that process.
Mm.
Just stay. It's not easy, but stay.
But
the same water, boiling water, that shrinks the spinach is the same water that also makes the rice to grow.
Exactly.
You understand?
Exactly.
So you need that boiling water.
Mm. I was good to what it will birth out of you.
You understand? You need it. That boiling situation, you need it sometimes.
Mm.
In as much as not easy to enjoy it, that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit.
The same water that shrinks spinach is the same that grows rice.
Yes.
Interesting.
You understand?
Yeah.
So that's who God is.
Are we hungry? All these food analogies. It was tea. It's rice. It's
you understand?
Yeah. For this,
So now the last one before we close. He says, no, his seed or children. I like it
breaking
in the versions that say his children breaking for bread.
Mm.
In other words, that's why the Bible says we are lenders, not borrowers.
Amen.
You see, your children will never beg for bread. But allow that season first so that it can bring abundance.
Amen.
That season that you are going through, don't run away from it. Because otherwise, if you run away from it, your children will beg for bread tomorrow.
You are sabotaging your children.
If you run away from that process, your children tomorrow, you are not doing it for yourself. You are being a coward.
Sure.
You are being a coward and you are not thinking on behalf of the next generation. When I say, if you believe
those,
if we believe those, you can call. Abesoti when Abahambe abantu abau kamela leba tu when we are sanya we. Sinje nam sanje ngaya koen. Yabo. But well, si a call manje. We don't do those things.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
But otherwise, if person a call, I would have said to each Joseli useless way. Na begu ni abanye be nige zuchwala we na baku tele mo pele pele metloen. Because you ran away from the process. Get into that process.
Mm.
It's not for you. It's for the generations to come so that they don't beg for bread.
Yeah. Amen.
They don't beg for bread.
Sure. Murabedi says, I'm corrected today. He said, blessed day, family. Thank you, Maruti, for the word of wisdom. I used to ask myself about the boldness that David has in Samuel 22:21 and Psalm 18:24. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness.
Amen.
According to the cleanness of my hands.
I like that one.
Me. I now know it was because I thought I knew.
Amen.
Sure.
What a powerful scripture.
Sure.
You see, now when you preach or when you teach, the Holy Spirit begins to speak things that you did not say.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So those who listen to the Holy Spirit are convicted. But somebody, you find that there's somebody who is offended.
True.
You understand?
Mm.
But those who are convicted, who are going according to the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God is speaking, they can also relate to other verses to say, oh, no wonder in Psalms 22 he's saying
it says,
this.
It's true.
You see?
Because he hi to you as well, my love. I'm in Fundisi. He never forsakes us. I'm looking at the time, Fundisi. I think we are running out of time.
Thank you so much.
It's time to wrap up.
Thank you so much, Sis Luko. We shall meet again next week on Wednesday, same time. 12 to 1, we are here to encourage somebody that you are on the right track. The pressure that you are going through, something precious is coming out from that.
Amen.
Just enjoy it.
And remember, he will not forsake you.
He will never forsake you. And your children will never beg for bread. Just go through that process.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thanks, Modis. Amen. Have a blessed afternoon further.
Thank you.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. A companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
It's more than radio, it's a way of life. It is 657 AM. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.